Haunted Night, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
We'd like to thank W.J. Pierce for creating and performing our music. Good evening and welcome to Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. We're your hosts, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne. Thank you for joining us. It's May and we're still celebrating those crazy ladies who brought us into the world. So before we get down to business, here's Tamara to tell you a little about our favorite mother, Prissy Martin, who you will meet in our thriller, which is aptly titled Mother.
Oh, and she's the kind of person you better get a present for, or you're going to hear about it for the rest of your life. In our provocative thriller, Mother, you'll meet Prissy Martin. She's the diva of Morning Glory Circle, the overseer of garage sales and neighborhood Christmas decorations. No one escapes her watchful eye. No one, that is, except her son, who committed suicide, and her daughter, Claire, who hasn't spoken to her in a decade. But now, Claire and her husband are expecting, and when they're forced to move back, Prissy's there to welcome them home with open arms and to reclaim her broken family, and we do mean reclaim. Prissy says she's mended her ways, but has she? Claire struggles to separate dim childhood memories of twisted abuse and perverted punishments from mother's apparent new attitude. But the sights of her dead brother's toy soldiers all over the house, freeze-dried dogs all over mother's bed, and her disabled stepfather's eyes following her as he silently watches from an upstairs window begs the question, who's the real monster in this family?
All right, and you can find Mother and all of our other novels at Amazon in ebook and paperback, wherever books are sold. All right, again, you're listening to Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. You can learn more about what we do at our websites, which are Alistair Cross and AlistairCross.com and TamaraThorne.com. You can visit our mutual blog at thornandcross.wordpress.com. If you tweet, our handles are at CrossAlistair and at TamaraThorne. You can visit our Haunted Nights Live page on Facebook, and if you're on Instagram, you can find us at Thorn and Cross and @official_AlistairCross. For more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air on Facebook, Twitter, and at AuthorsOnTheAir.com. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. All right, tonight we have a return visit from one of our favorite guests and favorite people, D.P. Lyle. D.P. Lyle, M.D., is the number one best-selling multi-award-winning author of the Samantha Cody, Dub Walker, Jake Longley, and Kane Harper thriller series, as well as the Royal Pains Media tie-in novels. He has worked with many novelists, as well as the writers of such popular shows as Law & Order, CSI Miami, Diagnosis Murder, Monk, Judging Amy, Cold Case, Peacemakers, Medium, House, Women's Murder Club, 1-800-MISSING, Pretty Little Liars, and The Glades. Doug also hosts the podcast Criminal Mischief, The Art and Science of Crime Fiction, which covers all the bases of crime, forensics, and all other manner of dark, disturbing things. Tonight we're going to talk about his latest book, Rigged, which is book 4 in the Jake Longley series, and that arrives May 19th. All right, without further ado, welcome to the show, Doug. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Always love visiting with you guys.
We love having you.
We love having you. We do.
We do.
All right, so Rigged, this is book 4 in the Jake Longley series. I'm very excited about it. This is a great series. We've talked about it a little bit before, but for anybody who might just be tuning in, can you tell us a little about this, the Jake Longley series?
Well, it's what I call a comedic thriller series. I mean, there are murders and mayhem and thrills and chills and all that stuff, but Jake is an idiot, and his quirky take on life is part of the story. And Jake is what I call a reluctant PI. His father Ray is born and bred in the dark world of special ops and whatever, you know, in the military, mm-hmm. And so he has a PI firm, and Ray is very serious. Jake, on the other hand, is laid back, cool, and doesn't really care about all that stuff. He played Major League Baseball. He's got a bar restaurant in Gulf Shores, Alabama. He'd rather just hang out with friends and you know, sip a little bourbon and relax. But he always gets brought into Ray's world, and of course, things never work out for Jake as you think they might.
Nice. I like him.
And what it's and yeah, it is, and it's hilarious. I got to tell you know the listeners, this is it's hilarious. It's,
yeah. You do
sharp.
Great dialogue.
Yeah, wicked sharp. Yes, yes, very
yes.
good dialogue. So now, Rigged, what's the story with this one? What's happening in Rigged?
Well, in Rigged, it's the fourth in the series, and basically Pancake, who is Jake's buddy from grammar school all the way up, his name's Tommy Jeffers, but everybody calls him Pancake. He's a big old redhead. And if you look at him, you think this guy's an idiot, but he's actually brilliant, especially with computers and stuff. He had a sixth-grade sweetheart, and she lived in a place called Fairhope, Alabama, a great, actually, real town that is fantastic. If you're ever on the Gulf Coast, go to Fairhope. It's phenomenal. But he's up there. She's going through a divorce, and they've hired Longley Investigations to go up there and look at the financials. It's non-contested. It's no big deal. But Pancake gets up there and finds out she's been murdered along with one of the guys she's seeing while she's going through the divorce. And after that, things go insane, and as they always do. Yeah.
All right.
So it's like past loves and, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
your sixth-grade sweetheart you never forget.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez. Sounds very good.
Yeah, I'm curious, do you read or watch much true crime? Does that inform your writing at all, if so?
Oh, sure. I mean, all the time. I mean, I probably record every true crime story known to man. You know, I've been doing it for decades, really. And, you know, my favorite now is Life PD. And people are always wondering how police do their jobs, and people who write police procedurals or any kind of crime fiction, you know, cops are involved, PIs are involved, but particularly cops, and you have to know how they do their job. And Life PD shows you how cops work on the street in real life, real time. And you can learn a lot from that. And, of course, the first 48 is, I mean, it's legendary. But I watch a lot of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Do you have a favorite? What's your favorite crime out of all the crimes out there that you've read about? That you, I guess maybe favorite isn't the best word,
favorite,
but the one that intrigues you the most, or just really sticks with you. Out of all the crimes out there, which one really stands apart to you, and why?
Well, I mean, there are so many. There are so many different motivations and different crimes and different. Whatever categories you want to stick them into, but I'm going to tell one of the most interesting ones to me are thrill killers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it for monetary gain.
Yeah.
They don't do it for, you know, revenge. They don't do it for a lot of you know, to avoid this, that, or the other, or to get back at somebody. They do it because the thrill of actually committing the crime, killing someone. I mean, it's like Leopold and Loeb, the famous case from, I think, 1924, where they killed Bobby Franks. That was probably what defined thrill killing. That was probably the thing where it first came up, and that was back, you know, like I said, almost a century ago. But it's like, really? What is this motivation just seems so foreign to the rest of us, that you would get a thrill out of just going and killing someone at random just for the hell of it to see what it felt like. Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's strange. Do you have what's your favorite kind of criminal to write about? Like you do a lot of, you know, murder mysteries and, you know, so you deal, you know, you write criminals. What's your favorite kind and why?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I think writers need to understand, and I think most good crime writers do, but maybe novices don't, is that remember that the antagonist is the hero of their own story. They think what they're doing is righteous and whatever, and they have goals, and they have fears, and they have wants, and they have all this stuff, just like the protagonist does. So I think writing that kind of character, the quintessential bad guy is Hannibal
right.
Lecter. And but
right,
yet,
right.
why? Why is that? Because he's not one-dimensional. I mean, he's a serial killer. He actually eats his victims. I mean, my God, how more horrific could you get? But think about this guy. He's a gourmet. He understands art. He
right.
understands literature. He understands music. He's well spoken. He is a nice looking guy. He can walk into a room and take it over. And the thing that I think that gave him depth more than anything else is he fell in love with Clarice.
Oh yeah.
And he loved Clarice. And mm-hmm. that gives him a social redeeming quality. And I think that's what people have to think of when they're writing these bad guys. Remember, they're the hero of their own story, and they do have mm-hmm. socially redeeming qualities. It's important.
Yes.
Right. It is.
Very. Yeah.
Now, one thing that I'm very curious about, and I'm asking you this for selfish reasons as much as anything.
Of course you are.
How do you navigate the ever changing terrain of psychological diagnoses? You know, like I thought of this because you were talking about Hannibal Lecter, and you hear all the time, oh, he's a sociopath. Okay, sure, he's a cold-blooded killer. He did, you know, sure, he ate people. He, you know, without conscience. Then he kind of, you know, develops these feelings for Clarice, and you have all these people coming out saying, well, he just slipped. He just fell out of character. He can't be a sociopath because he feels this way or that way. And then the definition of sociopathy changes. And so how do you deal with this?
Yeah, it changes all the time. And it depends on what the guys in the ivory towers are, or what articles they're writing and what research they're doing and how they think about stuff. And they kind of navigate through that. But sociopath, psychopath, and now they call it borderline personality disorder, though I don't know where the borderline came from. It's just a personality disorder. They're kind of interchangeable, and it depends on what term you want to use. But at the end of the day, the person who, if you want to understand sociopathy, psychopathy, whatever, the person who said it the best was Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer. And when they interviewed him after they had tracked him down and arrested him and all that, they asked him, said, Gary, what is it? What is it about you? What do you have that we don't, or what are you missing that the rest of us have? And he said, that caring thing. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't have empathy. They don't feel for other people. People are objects. And that's hard for most people to get their head around. I mean, I'm not sure I understand it, but it's real. And they don't have the feelings of empathy that the average person has.
And yet they have it for themselves to some degree. They have fear. You know, Ted Bundy didn't want to go to the electric chair. You know, they have emotions and some fear for themselves, but it seems like that's the cutoff point is outside of themselves. Is that correct?
Sure, but they don't care about their victims except that they are an object or they are a tool to get them to where they need to be. For some deep-seated reason. But, you know, you got to ask yourself, why did Ted Bundy go to Florida to flame out at the Kyle House at Florida State? They got the death penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why did he go to
Massachusetts? And they'll throw that right along.
But he went to Florida where they're going to fry your butt, you know. And you got to ask yourself, what's with that? I mean, why did he go there?
Yeah.
Right.
Texas or Florida, you want to stay out of if you don't want to get executed, you know.
And it's interesting because I watch a lot of true crime too, and I watch these serial killer things, and I'm sure you can, you know, I'm sure you've noticed it too. Because I mean, you just said it. It's not just Ted Bundy. There are multiple people who go to these places, and then commit these crimes. And I'm like, but why would Florida and Texas do not go to Florida or Texas.
It's more of a challenge.
If you're a killer, go to Wisconsin or Massachusetts. You know, I mean,
That's crazy. It's crazy, but, you know, it's true.
Yeah, it's more of a challenge to, you know, get away with it in a state that's going to
fry you. Maybe.
It's more thrilling. And
that could be it. That could be it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, they need thrill.
All right, now, your book, Rigged, this is book 4 in the Jake Longley series, and it comes out May 19th. And on top of writing, which you do a lot of, you have lots of stuff out there, and also helping television writers of all different kinds. You also do a podcast. This is Criminal Mischief, The Art and Science of Crime Fiction. For those who may not have heard, could you tell us a little bit about what your podcast is about?
Yeah, it's it's on Authors on the Air, like you guys are and all that, which is phenomenal. I mean, Pam, my God, you know, she's like a goddess.
I know,
She's unbelievable. Pam Stack. She's a goddess as far as I'm concerned. But I wanted to have a podcast, but I didn't want it to be interviews and stuff. You guys do that. Other guys do that. And you guys do it better than I could ever do it. And Jan Burke and I did that for 3.5 years on Crime and Science Radio, where we did interviews. But I just wanted to talk about stuff. I wanted to talk about that I was interested in and that I thought crime fiction writers might be interested in. So I will talk about the art. I'll talk about characterization, point of view, plotting, all that stuff. But I'll also talk about the science, the forensics issues that come up that crime writers need to know. So I kind of decided that if I'm going to do a podcast, I want to marry those two because, well, they're my interest. I love science. I mean, I'm a physician. I've been a scientist all my life, if you will. But I also write fiction. And those two, the nexus of those two, crime storytelling and science, to me, is really what stirs my chili. It's what I'm interested in. So that's what I talk about. And I hope people enjoy it. You know, I hope they learn something. I hope they get inspired. I hope they get story ideas, which is really at the end of the day what it's all about.
That's great.
No, it is, and it's fantastic, and we highly recommend it. We've listened to it. We've tuned in more than once. We've also hit you up more than once with questions about
bless
things.
Bless you.
You know, it's great that you do this, though, because it is really hard in this case. So, you know, when I was growing up before the internet, it was hard to get this information because you had to go dig it out at a library. And then there was a kind of a sweet spot there for a while when we weren't oversaturated. But now trying to get information, reliable information, is almost as hard as it was before we had it at our fingertips because there's so much of it. And you have to, you know, double check everything. It's just nice to be able to talk to someone who knows what they're talking about and can just give you an answer to your question. And Criminal Mischief really does do that. We've tuned into it more than once for one reason or another.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. So thank you
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And you brought up a very important point. Remember two things. Number one, any moron with a modem can put anything they want on the internet. So you got to be careful. Number two, you have to check and double check and triple check everything that you read on the internet. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, I spend so much time on the internet looking at stuff, but you have to have a filter. And number two is that, remember, everybody's smart in something, but they're stupid in something else.
Right.
You know, I have to go research stuff on the internet that I don't know about. But I'm very careful about the sources that I use. Look at who wrote it. Look at what their credentials are. Look at what their bias is. And then say, okay, this makes sense to me. Or, I don't know if I buy this or not. And the other stuff I read contradicts this. Doesn't mean that this is wrong, but at least ask that question. Is this true? Is this the real deal?
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. Well said. Well said. Yeah, it's fun. So Rigged is coming out on May 19th. We're very
right.
excited about that. So what are you working on now, and what's coming up next?
Well, besides the rig that you mentioned, I have the second in the Kane Harper series, which is coming out in October. It's called Prior Bad Acts. That's done. We're doing the final little
nice.
Miffs on that. And then I have just almost finished the second rewrite on the next Jake book, which will be next May or something or thereabouts, called The OC. It takes place here in Orange County, California, where I live. I decided I would bring Jake and crew out to the West Coast. And so they're here, and they get involved in a stalker and all this kind of stuff. And then I'm going to start
nice.
Working on the next Kane Harper book, which right now mm-hmm. I'm looking to set in the Charleston, South Carolina area. And then I have a short story coming out in a great anthology that Jeffrey Deaver is editing that Suspense Magazine's putting
oh,
out.
Wow.
It's coming in like November, and it's called, the title of the anthology is Nothing Good Happens After Midnight. And so, and so
I like
I'm
that.
Really looking forward to that. Yeah, I have a short story in that, so that'll be fun.
And what do you have coming up on Criminal Mischief?
I just finished a series on a two-part thing, a three-part thing on toxicology, and then a two-part thing on corpse identification. First was corpse identification, and the second was skeletal remains, which is a whole different world. And so I have other shows that I'm recording now that we're going to talk about. I want to talk about unusual poisons and poisons you can't survive. You know, once
nice.
They hit you, you're done. It may take a year to kill you, but you're done. And
nice.
A few other things that more in the artsy side. So I got several things I'm getting ready to record this week to kind of get them stacked up in the list.
So
wow.
one
you're
more
so
question.
Busy.
You're very, very busy, so I have to know, do you have any free time? And if so, what do you do?
Yeah, I played golf this morning. You know, I have lots of free time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I still practice cardiology, but it's, you know, cut back a lot because I'm old and cantankerous. And so I go to the office 2 days a week,
yeah.
but then I have 5 days of the week to write. And, I mean, what else am I going to do? You know, it's if I don't do that, I'll probably end up in prison, so I might as well write.
All right. Now, before we let you go, can you tell our listeners where they can go to find your books and also where they can go to find Criminal Mischief?
Well, if you go to my website, which is dplylemd.com, it's dplylemd.com, and from there you can find out all the books, you can connect to everything about them, and if you're interested, you can buy them. You can also connect to Crime and Science Radio. You can also connect to Criminal Mischief. You can connect to my blog, the Writer's Forensics blog. So you can connect to everything through the website. That's the portal to get everywhere.
Wow.
All right. Sounds great. Well, we love having you, and we always have questions, and we'll always be in touch, always. So,
yes.
I appreciate it. I really enjoy
yeah.
talking
yeah.
with you guys.
Yeah, you're
yes.
in the acknowledgments
we'll,
of my
we'll...
next solo.
And Mother
yes.
sounds like you guys need to be locked up somewhere.
We do.
That's what the reviews usually say, yeah.
What a
yeah,
great
it's,
riff
it's
y'all did at the
because...
beginning of this. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And we both had great mothers.
We knew that people, yeah.
yeah,
we did. We knew people
yeah.
were
yeah.
going to say, wow, you guys must have had really bad mothers, and so we actually dedicated
exactly.
it to our mothers,
no.
our mothers who were nothing like the mother in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I had a nice mother, too. It's amazing. Where does this come from?
Yeah.
I know, right?
What
we don't
crazy
know.
Crazy about my father. So, you know, you just change
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
Now,
all
you,
right. Well, it is a
yeah.
pleasure, as always, to have you. We are out of time. So
yeah.
thank you for coming on. And we hope you'll come back, as always.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
It was great.
You bet.
Thanks.
And, yes. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next week, this is Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. We wish you haunted nights.
And sweet screams.
Thank you for listening.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.